Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
So let me start by telling you guys a story. So my wife and I, I am active duty Navy. My wife, hoo-yah. So my wife and I, I'm active duty Navy. My wife and I, we used to be stationed in Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. Now, I lived on Ford Island, which is close to where the Arizona Memorial is. And I used to, on some mornings, I used to either walk or jog 3 miles to go to my office on base. I'll tell you that most of the time I actually walked. But so I would walk or jog to my office. And one day I was walking to my office, and I saw this man on the other side of the street. And it appeared that he had a prosthetic leg from the knee down on his right side. And as he's walking, I'm on the other side of the street, I'm walking, and it appears that every time he comes to a trash can, he would kind of rummage through it, and apparently maybe he was looking for soda cans or something like that. And then while I was watching him, I felt this voice say, "Give this man $20. Now, I know that this is not a problem for anybody else I see three south, but I will confess that it's a problem for me that sometimes I have a little trouble discerning whether or not I'm hearing the voice of God, especially when it comes to money. But I know it's just me. I know it's just me. So I hear this thing that says, "Give this man $20. And I'm like, I'm hearing things. So I keep on walking. I take a couple more steps, and I hear this voice again say, "Give this man $20. Now, I'm a little hesitant. I'm a little reluctant, and here's why. You see, I just had to ask my wife for $40 this morning. And you see, and this $40 was intended for me to go out with a friend later on that evening, kind of have dinner, kind of catch up. And I know men, I know you kind of say, "Well, wait a minute, you asked your wife for like $40? Okay, you asked your wife for $40? So let me just clarify a couple things for you. You see, in the Jones house, I am the man. In the Jones house, I wear the pants in the family. My wife tells me the color and style. So anyhow, I'm walking up the street, and I see this guy, and this voice says, "Give this man $20. So I'm like, And then finally, the voice says again, "Give this man $20. I'm like, okay, fine. So I have to basically get up to an intersection so I can cross the street. And I got to say, for a man with a prosthetic leg, this guy can move pretty quickly. So I finally get to the crosswalk, cross the street, and this guy is already halfway up the street. So I have to kind of hustle up just to get him. When I finally get to him, I say, "Sir, excuse me, I'm sorry to bother you, but I just wanted to give you this." And the man looks at the $20, and then he looks at me, and he says, "No thanks, I'm good." I just wanted to give you this. And he said, looked at the money, looked at me, and said, "No thanks, I'm good." Proceeds to turn his back and walk away. So here I am standing in the middle of the street looking like Joe Donut Head, holding a $20 bill as a man with a prosthetic leg walks away from me. And I can only imagine what the people driving by are seeing at this point. I'm assuming, and granted, now my mind went there, maybe yours would, my mind went there and said, okay, so here's this guy propositioning a man with a prosthetic leg with $20, and worst of all, he just got rejected. So once that happens, I proceed to turn my back and I start walking, kind of, well, not really, more kind of like stomping on my way back to work. And this time I'm frustrated. I am confused. I am embarrassed. And quite frankly, I'm a little bit angry. Because I'm like, you know, I thought I heard you. I thought you said to give this man $20. And here I am doing what you said to do, and it does not work out how I was expecting it to work out. So in my fit of frustration, I put myself on, I call my dad. And I call my dad, and I call him up, and I say, hey, Pops, let me tell you what happened. And I tell him what happens. And then my dad, in all of his wisdom, he says, son, it was never about the money. It was about you. It was about your heart. God wanted to know, if I ask you to do something, will you say yes? If I call you, will you pick up the phone or will you let it go to voicemail? What he wanted to know, my son, is, are you willing? The title of my message is, Are You Willing? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, to you I give all honor, glory, and praise. I thank you for the opportunity to speak to your people. Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing unto your sight. I ask that you speak to me, through me, and for me, that this message might be a word in season for everybody here. And I ask that you give everyone eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to receive the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, are you willing? So, one of my favorite Old Testament verses comes in Isaiah 6:8, and actually Marco just preached on a couple weeks ago, and it's when the prophet Isaiah has been ushered into the throne room of God. He is witnessing God in all his glory and all his splendor as the seraphim and the cherubim surround him saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Isaiah is watching this. And as he's watching this, you know, he's also kind of getting kind of scared because he's like, oh, snap, I'm a dead man because I'm sinful who lives with a bunch of sinful people. But instead of him being destroyed, instead of him being eradicated, instead of him being wiped out, a seraphim takes a coal, cleanses and takes away his iniquity and his sin. And then he says, he sits, he listens, and then he hears the voice of the Lord say, who shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah says, here am I, send me. Now, one of the awesome things about this scripture is that notice that Isaiah had no idea what he was signing up for. You see, Isaiah, all God said is, all he said was, who shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. There was, he didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what he was doing. He didn't know what support he would have. He didn't know how he was going to be resourced. He didn't know what challenges he was going to have. He didn't know if there was going to be pushback. He didn't know if it was going to cost him his life. All he knew is that God said, I need someone. Will you go? And his response was, I am willing. And then, shouldn't that be our response today? When God asks us to do something, shouldn't our response be, I am willing? Because aren't we just like Isaiah? Have we not experienced the power of God? Have we not experienced his presence? You guys were here doing worship, right? The power of God was here. The Spirit of the Lord was here. Have you not experienced God in your marriages? Have you not experienced him when you were trying to get over that addiction? Did you not know God then? Did you not know God when your children are out doing craziness and they come back to you? Did you not know God when your finances were going crazy? Have you not experienced God? But on top of that, Isaiah's iniquity, his sin was taken away. Has not your sin been taken away? Have you not been cleansed of your iniquity? When Jesus died on the cross, that's exactly what his blood did. So when God asks us, are you willing? What should our response be? Yes. Yes. Lord, I don't know what it is you want me to do, but yes. Lord, I don't know how I'm supposed to do it, but yes. Lord, I don't know where I'm supposed to go, but yes. Lord, I don't know what's supposed to cost me, but yes. I am willing. Lean over to your neighbor and ask, are you willing? Now, lots of times when it comes to whether or not you're willing, sometimes we all have what I like to call hiccups, hang-ups, and screw-ups. We have things about us or things in our past or things that we think that either preclude us from being used the way God wants to use us, or just maybe we're just not good enough. So why don't we talk about some of them? So one of the first ones is I am willing, but I don't have much to offer. So maybe anybody who's in this category thinks that, you know, maybe I'm not gifted enough, maybe I'm not talented enough, or maybe my gifts are insignificant. Or maybe I don't even know what my gifts are. First, let me tell you this. You were created by the God of the universe. He did not leave anybody in here bankrupt. I promise you, you have gifts. And I promise you that any gift that you are willing to offer up, God is willing to use. God is willing to use. Now, some of you might think, well, okay, I can't sing to save my life. You know, every time I get up to talk with people, you know, I'm nervous. You know, and when I have to pray in front of people, you know, I don't want to do that. So what gifts do I have? Well, let's talk about this. So I'm good with numbers. Okay, well, guess what? We have an accounting team here at the church. Hey, guess what? You know something? You know, at C3 San Diego, we have people who work in finance. So I think that's a gift. What if you say, well, you know something? You know, the only thing I'm good at is basket weaving. Well, guess what? You can weave me a basket. I'll put some canned goods in it and a turkey, and we'll make a care basket, and we'll deliver it to the community, and then we'll start ministering to some people. You've got some talent. Or maybe you might even say, you know something? Look, I can't even weave a basket. The best I can do is give you a smile and a firm handshake. And you know something? Gotta use that too. Because you know something? When you put on that blue high team shirt, and people come in that front door, a smile might be all that they need. A handshake might be all that they need. That might just be all that they need. So you've got talent. You've got gifts. So you can be used. Don't tell me you can't be used. You can be used. And he wants to use you. So let him use you. So if you are willing, he will do amazing things with your talents. So the Bible says in Romans 12, 6 through 7, it says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, then speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, well, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, then be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Just showing kindness is a gift. And here's a great thing. You don't even have to use a gift in church. You can use it in your workplace. You can use it in your community. You can use it at your gym. You can use it at the restaurant. You know, one of the most amazing things I've seen at a restaurant is when someone receives some food, like the the waitress or the waiter, the server brings the food up to them, and right before they say grace, they look at the waiter and say, you know something? Is there something I can pray for you on? How easy is that? Let him use you. So we just kind of debunked the myth that, well, I don't have anything to offer. Yes, you have something to offer. Or how about, well, I'm willing, but, you know, I've made too many mistakes. I want you to be able to use me, but I'm a hot mess. And if you've seen some of the things I've done, some of the places I've been, you would not want to use me. And I can imagine God just goes, you don't know me very well, do you? Because here's the thing. The Bible is full of people who have made major, major, major screw-ups. Let's take Moses, for example. Moses murdered a man. Has anybody in here been convicted of murder? Okay, so you are already one step up from Moses. David committed adultery with the wife of one of his best warriors. And then, when he impregnated her, stay with me, people. Stay with me. And then after he impregnated her, what did he do? He had this guy killed in battle. That's pretty messed up. Okay? But then we've got Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times. That is an albatross that Peter just never seems to be able to get off his neck. You notice that? But he denied Jesus 3 times. And then Paul persecuted Christians. As a matter of fact, even held the cloak of one of the men who stoned Stephen to death. So here's the thing. All of these people, I will bet you dollars to donuts, were far worse people than you might think you are. They were far more messed up than you might think you are. They are far more screwed up than what you think you are. And yet, God used them to radically change the world. Radically change the world. Moses freed the people of Israel out of bondage in Egypt. Moses did that. David is the lineage of Jesus Christ. Peter is the rock upon which the church was built. And Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. So don't tell me that you're disqualified. Don't tell me you're disqualified. The question is, are you willing? Somebody ask your neighbor, are you willing? Or just maybe. It's not that you have done something wrong. It's because you have a past hurt. Something was done to you. Okay? Or maybe it could be anything. It could be, you know, that you were somehow violated in some way, or somebody just really just did something really awful to you. It could be a church hurt. It could be a number of different things. Again, that does not preclude you from being used by God if you're willing. Let's take Joseph. For example, now that's a brother with family issues. I mean, this guy, all right, his brothers hate him so much, okay, that they throw him into a pit. They were going to kill him, but instead of killing him, they decide that they're going to sell him into slavery. And during the time that he's in slavery, he's imprisoned, he's falsely accused of attempted rape. All these things happen. But here's the thing. Joseph could have been bitter. He could have said, well, I'm not going to do it because of what these people did to me, and I'm too hurt. Or he could say, you know something, Lord, despite what I've been through, I am willing. You see, what we all got to realize is that there is nothing so significant about any of us, about any situation we have been in, anything that's happened to us. There's nothing that is so significant that would prevent God from being to use us if we have a willing heart, if we're just willing to say yes, okay? Because often when we think, well, you know something, I'm disqualified. Would you be surprised to know that the thing, that problem that you think disqualifies you is the very thing that makes you qualified? Is the very thing that makes you qualified. Tell me something. How am I supposed to minister to someone who is grieving if I've never grieved? How am I supposed to minister to someone who may have gone, you know, who may have lost, you know, a child if I've never lost a child? It's all one of those things where the things that have that have hurt you, that have harmed you, he will take those things. Romans 8:28, where he says, all things will work out for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. He will make all things work out. He can use that. And here's the great thing. When you turn it over to God and he uses it, no one is ever going to be able to question the power of God, because people who have seen where you've been and what you have done, they will know that the only way you could have come through that, the only way you could have risen above that, is because you had a God on your side, because you had a God who loved you, who had a God who said, I will never leave you or forsake you, because you had a God who said, when you were down in the pit, I'm down there with you. We had a God who said, there's no way. He says, I'm going to make a way. That's why. That's why. That's why. But not only will everybody else be convinced, but guess what? You're going to be convinced. Because once you realize, because nobody knows you better than you, with the exception of God himself. Nobody knows what you've been through better than you. Nobody knows what you've done better than you. So when you look at your life, and I'll tell you what, I am speaking to myself. When I look at my life, when I looked at the 18 years that I was out going rogue, living in the world, and some of the things that I did, and I look at the fact that I have the honor and the privilege to stand up before all you beautiful South Campus people and friends and people who came from Central, to my logical mind, there is no way this is within the possible. But God, I am here. But God. So it doesn't matter how many mistakes you may have made. It does not matter what may have happened to you in the past. If you will say, I am willing, God can do something amazing in your life. So another one is well, I'm willing, but, you know, I just want to be able to do something really great for God. I don't want to do something small. I want to be able to do something great. So does anybody know that the greatest thing you can do for God is to do what he told you? Okay? That's the greatest thing you can do for God, is to do what he told you. So there's this guy. Now, some of you, does anybody ever drive on Palm Avenue through IB? Okay. So on Palm Avenue, driving through IB on the corner of Palm and 13th Street, there is a black man who's normally wearing jeans, either a red shirt or a blue t-shirt. He has a hat on, and he's selling candy. He walks up and down the median. Has anybody seen this man before? Okay, that man's name is Fred. Okay, so one day I'm driving along, and I see Fred. And I've seen him 100 times. But one day I'm driving along, and he's standing on the median, and he's doing this. So I'm like, I almost had an accident because I was too busy watching him doing that. I was driving up the street. But I see him do it. I'm like, that's interesting. A couple weeks later, I'm driving up the street again, and I see Fred. And something says, Dominic, you need to turn around. You need to talk to him. So I'm like, all right. So I bust a U-turn. I decide I'm going to go to the ATM because I didn't ask my wife for money that morning. So I decided to bust a U-turn. I turn around. I figure, well, he's selling candy, so I don't want to go to him empty-handed. So I go to an ATM. I pull out $40, and there's something magical about $40 for some reason. And I'm thinking that I'm just going to give him 20. So I pull my car over. I get out of the car. I walk over to the median. I'm in uniform. I walk over to him, and I say, hey, excuse me. I'm sorry to bother you, but who are you and what are you doing? And I know that came out really wrong, but that's how it came out. And he said, my name is Fred. And he started to tell me that, you know, what he was doing. And what Fred is doing is Fred is out there selling candy for a ministry. And basically what this ministry does is it takes in alcoholics and people are trying to recover from drug addictions. And it takes them into this house and they help try to get them clean and restore them. The whole time giving them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is what he's out there doing. At least 4 or 5 days a week in the hot sun. And we know that the last few months have been hot. And guess who's out there faithfully? Fred. Now, here's the interesting thing. If you're trying to raise money, I can imagine that there are far more effective ways to raise money for your ministry than to be standing on the median of Palm Avenue trying to sell candy. Surely there must be some type of marathon or event or something he could do, some type of promotion. I'm sure he knows some business people. There must be something else he could do that could really just bring the money in, that could really, maybe he could get some corporate sponsors, or there must be something more that he could do to raise money, right? But that's not what God called him to do. God called him to stand on that median and walk up and down selling candy. And every now and then, he might meet someone that he can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with. You see, sometimes we think that God only sees us or only sees what we're doing if we're doing something big. If we're doing something that makes people go, wow, or if we do something like that. But I guess my question is who defines what great is? I mean, who defines great? Do you define great? Does society define great, or does God define great? So if the world tells you to build a tower, but God says, hey, I need you to feed homeless people on the weekend, who is great in God's eyes? Who's great in God's eyes? I'm gonna bet you it is not the person building the tower. The greatest thing you can do for God is to do what he told you to do. But everybody wants to do something great. You know, sometimes I am reminded of the story of Naaman. Frankie, where you at? Boom. So Frankie was talking about this last week, about the story of Naaman. And, you know, Naaman, he was the commander of the armies of Aram. Okay, you know, he was well revered, he was respected, he was all these things. But Naaman had leprosy, okay? And if you're not familiar with the story, it's in 2 Kings 6. So after this, please read it. So basically, Naaman, you know, he got leprosy. He goes to Elisha to be healed. And when he gets to Elisha, Elisha says, yeah, just go to the Jordan, dip yourself in the Jordan 7 times, and then you'll be healed. And Naaman gets upset because he believes that this task is beneath him. Okay, but then one of his servants, one of his helpers says, well, if he had told you to do something great, would you have not done it? All he's asking you to do is dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan. Brothers and sisters, God is not asking you to free Israel. God is not asking you to cure world hunger. Or maybe he is for some of you. But what he might be asking you to do is something very, 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 very simple. Very simple. Because here's the thing. God is not just a God of the great things. He's a God of the little things. For example, every hair on your head is numbered. Luke 12:7. A sparrow does not fall to the ground without him seeing it. Matthew 10:29. Small foxes spoil the vine. Song of Solomon 2:15. When God came to speak to Elijah when he was on the run from Jezebel, he didn't come in the mighty wind. He didn't come in the thundering earthquake or the raging fire. He came in a small, still
you're listening closely, you can hear him calling to you. He's not just a God of big, he's a God of the small, okay? Because the little things to him, because he's God of the small, the little things mean a lot. Matthew 25, 34 through 40. And it says, then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. And here's what he says. He says, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison. You came to visit me. And then the righteous say, well, when did we do all these things? And then he'll say, the king will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Hey, Eliana, daddy's thirsty. Can I have that bottle of water, please? Thank you, my princess. Okay, thank you. So, what my daughter just did, as I take a sip, what she just did for me, as small as it was, just giving me a drink of water, she just did that for our Creator. She just did that for God. It was a simple, simple, simple task. But he's a God of the little things. Because here's the thing, serving people matters to God. Why? Because people matter to God. That's the whole reason Jesus died. He died for people. He died that you could have relationship with him. That's why he died. And so some of you might look at maybe some serving opportunity. Some of you might look at being an usher, you know, saying, hey, you know something? I mean, there ain't nothing too significant about that. Yes, 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 shameless plug, shameless plug. But some of you might look at, you know, be like, yeah, you caught that, right? Yeah. But I'm up here. I got the mic, so. But I mean, but you know, but it could be just, you know, hey, you know, I mean, being an usher, you know, I mean, you know, that's not a big deal. But I tell you what, to that person who's being ushered in, where is it? Say, we give that handshake, hey, good morning, so happy to see you. Let me get you to your seat so you can start getting to praise and worship as quickly as possible so the Holy Spirit can lose his mind and do whatever it is he wants to do. When that person is that much closer to giving his life to Jesus Christ because of what you did, finding them a seat, I think that's a big deal. I think that's pretty significant. So, to kind of help people who are still kind of stuck on the big, you know, hey, you know, it's, you know, but I want to do something big. So, contrast the verse I just read to Matthew 7, 22, 23. And here's what it says. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name, drive out demons and perform many miracles. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, evildoers. Because here's the thing. I would venture to say that telling him, pick up your mat and walk, is a little bit more significant than can I have a drink of water. I would venture to say that blind person, now you can see, is a little bit more significant than giving you a bite to eat. I can imagine that. Calling out a demon is probably more significant than inviting you into my house. But again, he's a God of the little, okay? And all he asks is, are you willing to do what I've asked? Here's the thing. God wants to take you places. He wants to do things in your life. He wants to promote you. He wants to elevate you. He wants to level you up. But here's the thing, where he wants to take you, you are not going to get there based on what got you here. You're going to need new anointing. You're going to need new skills. You're going to need new giftings. You're going to need new talents. So when you kind of are invited to do something, you say, well, you know something, I would serve, but you know, but I'm a singer. I want to be on the worship team, or I would serve, but I can only do this. You are cutting yourself off from the amazing things God wants to do. You're cutting yourself off because what he wants to expand you. Now, if you're happy being exactly where you're at, then keep doing exactly what you're doing. But if you want next level,
if you want next dimension, if you want the next thing that God's got for you, then you need to level up. Which means that you might have to step outside your comfort zone. You might have to step outside doing what's been normal. You might have to step aside what you think your gifting is, so God can give you a new gift. So as I kind of start to come to a close, you know, I was just kind of thinking about how, you know, sometimes when Felicia here last week, she was talking about how, you know, you are just a steward of your talent, but your talent is really meant for someone else. And there's this hip-hop artist, this gospel hip-hop artist named Lecrae. Has anybody heard of him? So the first time I heard of Lecrae, the first time I heard the name Lecrae, I was like, what is a Lecrae? It sounds like a French seafood dish. But then I started to listen to his words and his lyrics. I said, this is a bad brother. I mean, this is a bad dude. And one of the things he said that just totally just rocked my world is he says, I tell you what's better, or better yet, worse, chasing your own glory by doing the Lord's work. I tell you what's better, or better yet, worse, chasing your own glory by doing the Lord's work. So holler if it hurts. You see, we were made for greater. His greatest satisfaction is making his name famous. So if we would ever name them among the greatest, they don't critically acclaim and say nothing to be ashamed of, we gave it up for the Savior. The point is that if you're willing, God can use you. And all he's asking you to say is yes. But the few willing hearts, he can change the world. With a few willing hearts, he can change South Bay. With a few willing hearts, he can change San Diego. With a few willing hearts, he can change the state of California. And it will start to move throughout this nation. With a few willing hearts. So ask yourself, am I willing? So the person who just really, really, really just demonstrates what it means to have a willing heart is Jesus. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he was kneeling in anguish with drops of blood coming from his brow, he said, Lord, if you're willing, take this cup from me. But not my will, your will be done. And he did that all of us might have this privilege, this opportunity to be here right now. So I know that there might be some people in the house this evening, you know, who maybe might not know this Jesus that I'm talking about. You might not know what it means to be loved by someone who said, I'm willing for you. And now you can say, I'm willing for him.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.